For the Medical Journal of Australia, I'm Kate Swanell. Welcome to the MJA podcast. In 2001, Launceston in Tasmania was the setting for a series of interventions to reduce wood smoke pollution, which resulted in a 40% cut in winter air pollution. The end result of that wood heater replacement program was a significant drop in all-cause mortality for both men and women. What's apparent, however, is that the lessons learned in Launceston have not spread across the country. In Sydney, for example, only 4.4% of households use wood as their main source of heating, but the New South Wales government's own assessment attributed 46% of the population-weighted exposure to Sydney's human-made PM2.5 pollution to wood heating. Dr. Dorothy Robinson is an adjunct senior research fellow at the University of New England in Armidale, a regional town in New South Wales with a population of just under 25,000. She and her co-authors, including Dr. Faye Johnston, who worked on the Launceston project, have done a health impact assessment of air pollution from wood heating in Armidale. Their results will make you rethink your plans to install a wood heater. Dr. Robinson is my special guest today. Do we know how many Australian households use wood heating?
Well, the Australian Bureau of Statistics did some research in 2014, and at that time, wood was the main form of heating for 9.9% of Australian households. It was 4.4% in Sydney and 4.1% in Melbourne. But ironically, I mean, pollution probably has increased during the lockdown. The ACT has an estimated 3.3% of households using wood as main heating. And in 2018, there was one daily exceedance of national air pollution standards attributed to wood heating, two in 2019, and 13 in 2020. And it's just so ironical because of the association of air pollution, and as we now know, wood smoke, with increased risk of COVID-19 transmission severity. And these concerns led in other countries, the UK and Canada, to some local authorities encouraging people not to use wood heating.
What's been the history of research into wood heating pollution or pollution caused by wood fired heating? What have we learned from past research on this?
Well, I think what's more important is perhaps what we haven't learned, especially the need for effective action to tackle the disproportionate and increasing contribution of wood heating to PM2.5 pollution. And that's because PM2.5 is considered the most hazardous air pollution. And indeed, for example, the New South Wales government's own clean air strategy attributed 46% of population-weighted exposure to Sydney's human-made PM2.5 pollution to wood heating. That's almost half the total. Yeah. Yet only 4.4% of households use wood as main heating. So it's a hugely disproportionate contribution compared to the other 95% using other heating and all the industrial sources. And of course, most households and businesses having one or two vehicles.
So what have we failed to learn?
Well, we've probably failed to learn the experiences of what happened in Launceston, which really stands out as a shining example because of its significant reduction in pollution and substantial improvement in health. Many people have heard of the 28% fewer deaths in winter from respiratory diseases and 20% fewer cardiovascular diseases. And we should really learn from the excellent information on health that everyone in Launceston understood. For example, 2,000 households accepting a small subsidy to remove wood heaters, and I'm told another 2,000 households removing them entirely at their own expense. Yeah. And that was, for the 70,000 people in the urban area, a major health benefit from remarkably low cost, $29 per resident.
Was that a state government subsidy or a federal?
That was a federal government subsidy. And my co-author, Faye Johnston, was very strongly involved in that study. And she's also appeared before a Victorian parliamentary inquiry into air pollution on the 28th of June this year and discussed less successful programs, including the limited ineffectiveness of education programs on how to operate wood heaters better. There's evidence that people can learn, but no evidence that it has worked to change air quality in the community. And that's the really important thing. She also said that although we've tightened wood heat emission standards considerably, there's no evidence anywhere that air pollution in any town has actually improved as a consequence. And of course, you've seen the similar evidence from New Zealand, where since 2005, all heaters installed in urban areas have had to satisfy stricter standards than here. But the Growing Up in New Zealand study found that even one wood heater per hectare increased by 7% the risk of non-accidental hospital emergency presentations in children under three. That's the information we should learn and act on.
So tell me about Armidale. What proportion of homes there use wood heating, and what made you decide to do this research?
I've been involved in researching wood heating in Armidale for many, many years. I was working with a colleague at the University of New England when there was a University of New England air quality research group, and we did some work there in 1999 that culminated in publishing a paper on spatial variability in 2007. But it's been a very difficult journey to go on. Wood heating is something that, unless people really know and understand the health consequences, as happened in Launceston, very difficult problem to solve.
Has Armidale been a bit resistant to your findings?
Well, some people in Armidale are very, very interested in the findings and want to do something. Mm. But at the same time, we've got an industry lobby. And so you have to balance the two competing interests and find out what the best solutions are for the city.
When we're talking about wood heating, are we talking about traditional old-fashioned fireplaces, or are we talking about the boxes that people get installed in their homes, or does it matter?
In Armidale, it's almost entirely the enclosed wood heaters rather than traditional fireplaces.
Right.
The vast majority, probably about 3,000 in Armidale, are enclosed wood heaters.
So what were your major findings?
Well, the major finding, and possibly the first major finding that we've looked at many times over and was really confirmed by the low-cost monitoring, having monitors at 11 locations throughout the city, is that some areas have a lot more pollution than others. At the New South Wales official government station, the national standard was exceeded on 32 days, but it was exceeded on 63 days in one residential area. So if you believe that national standards should apply to all Australians, we've got a long, long way to go. And then the second major finding, or major part of this research, was to calculate average population exposure to wood smoke, which we calculated was 15.6 micrograms of PM2.5 per cubic meter over the period of the 1st of May to the 11th of October. And that works out at 7.03 micrograms per cubic meter over the whole year. That level of exposure, we would expect 14 premature deaths every year from air pollution, from wood smoke pollution, corresponding to 210 years of life lost and an estimated financial cost. If we value years of life according to the recommendations of the Office of Best Practice Regulation, of $32.8 million, or more than $10,000 per heater per year.
I'm chatting with Dr. Dorothy Robinson from the University of New England. Her co-authored research is available at mja.com.au, where it is free to access. We also have an article on the topic of wood heating pollution in Insight Plus, the MJA's weekly news magazine. All Insight Plus content is free to access, and you can find it at insightplusmja.com.au. That's insightplus.mja.com.au. Back to our chat. Did that surprise you? Did the numbers surprise you at all?
Well, our research is consistent with other research showing disproportionate contributions of wood heaters to hazardous air pollution. There was an estimate fairly recently in Tasmania of $4,232 per wood heater per year. And now we also have the New South Wales government's own estimate in the Clean Air Strategy that human-made PM2.5 emissions cost $3.3 billion in the Sydney, Newcastle, Wollongong area And if 42% of that 3.3 billion is attributed to about 100,000 households using wood heating, that's about $10,000 per wood heater per year, very similar to the Armidale study.
What are the alternatives to wood heating, given how viable are they economically?
Technology has really improved over the past few years, and nowadays we have efficient reverse cycle air conditioners, otherwise known as heat pumps, can deliver more than five times as much warmth to the home as they use in electric power. Yeah. And they can continue to work even when the outside air is below freezing. And the real benefit of this form of heating, apart from actually being cheaper than buying firewood, because firewood nowadays is getting more and more expensive, something like $400 a ton in capital cities, reverse cycle is generally cheaper. Yeah. And at the same time, because the heat is extracted from the outdoor air that's heated by the sun, at least 80% of the delivered heat is renewable. And in places like Armidale, where we're in the middle of a renewable energy zone, it will soon be 100%. At the same time, you've got to heat smarter. As well as looking at what type of heating you need to look at the best outcome. And that's also, in some cases, upgrading insulation, as well as changing your heating method. Two together work far better in conjunction with each other than having just simply switching from one heating to another in a poorly cold, poorly insulated house.
I suspect that an awful lot of wood heating is installed for the sheer aesthetics of it.
Certainly, I believe that's true in capital cities, probably less so in Armidale.
Okay.
And that's why maybe Armidale could serve as a model for the rest of the country as far as finding out what the best and most efficient form of heating is, because we need to know how to upgrade the houses so that they have good insulation and find the most attractive form of heating. And there are now lovely reverse cycle floor mounted reverse cycle air conditioners that can give out heat, and so you can stand over them and feel warm. They also, some of them actually put out radiant heat as well. And these are the sort of comfortable, sleek looking units that maybe people would prefer, even if they are a little bit less efficient. Really, what I'd like to see in Armidale is a really good demonstration program, looking at all the different possibilities of how to encourage people to use clean, effective heating and insulation, so that when we know where to direct future subsidies, and that will go a long, long way towards achieving sustainable, clean, healthy heating in future.
Wave a magic wand for me, Dorothy. What would you like to see happen? What would you do first up?
Well, first off, I would certainly do the demonstration project to find out the best options to create a healthy, sustainable future for Armidale and use it as a model for the rest of the country. And at the same time, I would encourage doctors to get involved in this, because they've done such a great job of helping people understand the harms of tobacco smoke. And a simple calculation that I did shows that current smoking rates of 11.6% and two-thirds of smokers expected to die from smoking-related activities, that's basically 7.7% of deaths. And if you look at 14.2 premature deaths attributed to wood heater pollution, that's 8.5% of deaths. And there's more life years lost to wood smoke pollution than to current smoking. And because wood smoke contains the same and very similar chemicals to tobacco smoke, greater quantities, we really do need regulation and doctors to encourage regulation to protect the population. For example, doctors talk about smoking cigarettes on playgrounds, but the ABC background briefing talked about the effects of having wood heater pollution blowing over a children's playground. Yeah. And that can also be devastating.
Is wood heating pollution dangerous to people inside the house, or are we just talking air pollution outside?
Both, because what happens is that the outside pollution comes inside.
Right.
And again, that depends on the level of air tightness of the house. But we've got several houses in Armidale whereby indoor pollution after a lag of maybe half an hour is just the same as the outdoor pollution. And it just follows the outdoor pollution almost exactly. Wow. You get a high outside and then a little, half an hour later you've got a high inside, and it just follows the same pattern all day and all night. It also depends on how the person operates the wood heater. Yeah. Sometimes, and this has particularly been shown in the UK, that very high levels of pollution can be obtained from operating a wood heater if you open the door too often or if it doesn't draw correctly. If you've got, say, a blocked flue or a partially blocked flue, then that can be very, very dangerous inside the home.
You talked a little bit about doctors there. What role do you think GPs can play in getting this message across, Dorothy?
Well, I think one of the best quotes comes from Dr. Rob Fair, who's the current president of the Rural Doctors Association of Victoria. And he wrote last year, "Doctors can make a big contribution in discussions about air pollution with our patients, local government and local communities. And the discussion about wood heaters should resemble the discussions about tobacco smoking. Smoking in public places is recognised as harmful to public health. The same recognition should be extended to wood heaters." The main thing that people need to understand, and this is not really in the paper, is that people take their attitudes and understand the harms of something from the attitudes of government and the attitudes of doctors. And I once heard, over 20 years ago, when there was a PhD student studying air pollution in Armidale, and she talked about all the health hazards of wood smoke pollution then. And the question that they asked was, well, if this is so harmful to health, why haven't governments and council done anything about it? And that really is the clincher as far as many people are concerned. If it's legal, it must be safe. And we've had this problem all over with air pollution, that there's no safe level of air pollution. But so many governments say, well, if you meet the national standards, even those national standards are nowhere near safe, then it's okay. And that's applied to all sorts of things. To the best of my knowledge, and this is a personal opinion, that the major advances we made in tobacco smoking was when we prevented smoking at work, because that was the trigger that really convinced people it was harmful. The same for drink driving. People used to widely ignore the messages until it became illegal. And as soon as random breath testing came in, attitudes changed overnight. That's really what has to happen with wood heater pollution.
Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts. Or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.